Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what the heck is going on? The markets are stuck in mud. They don't want to do a damn thing. They refuse to lose. They refuse to move. Really interesting market concoction we've got going on here. It's I think it's something that you look at from a if you're a trader like I was and I am. You're used to more action, and of course, if you're an investor, you like it when it doesn't move too far. You don't have to worry about it. But at the end of the day, what's really setting up here is a chance for a huge move, and it could be either way. Again, I'm not saying it's going to be down. I just say the probability favors it to be the downside. I mean, if we look at the pattern and we see a straight consolidation pattern, which... when you have straight consolidation, it means it's getting set up to make the next move. Now, the longest time frame is still, you know, bullish, you know, still up. But, you know, we've had this last big rally, and a lot of times these big rallies or big sell-offs will resolve through consolidation and then continue. So that's a possibility. But I think one of the things that we're not watching or not accurately taking a look at is that Donald Trump's plans, okay, are not being implemented as fast as we'd like them to be. A lot of this market movement, a lot of this big rally was pricing in a tax cut, which is now they're talking about maybe August, you know, jobs and a bunch of other things. And again, I believe that he will get them all done. I believe it's going to be great. Okay. However, from a market standpoint and from an expectation standpoint, they are not meeting expectations. And it doesn't look like, you know, he can't even get his cabinet in place, let alone get some of these other things passed or done that need to be done. So when we look at it from that perspective, I think you have to realize that there's a pretty good chance that the next move, big move, will be down. Now, again, that doesn't mean you jump out and sell and jump out the window right now. It just means that be prepared. And what you'd really be prepared for is probably a, you know, a 1 day sell off, you know, let's say a couple hundred, 200-300 points, maybe 400, you know, again, because it's, you're only talking about 1.5-2%. So it's not like it's a disaster. And then you'd look for a rally back into the resistance would be my guess would be probably 19,800 in the Dow. And that would be an area that you would then look for. And I think that would be the objective, and that would be where you would start to look to sell the breakdown. Again, we don't want to be first in line. Okay, we don't want to sell ahead of everybody. We want to get involved after the fact, and we want to celebrate with everybody. Right? We don't mind not getting the low tick. We're very comfortable with doing that. We want to be able to get the action, you know, going in our favor. And then kind of jump in with it. So that would be something that you would want to look at. And that's what we'd be looking for from a market standpoint. Because, again, markets love to be – they don't like to be surprised. They like to build up their expectations. And when expectations are not met, that's typically when you see some sad stories. And again, happens all the time. I mean, it happens in – Amazon's earnings, okay? They had nice earnings, but they missed, and of course, the stock's getting clobbered. So this is something that you look at and you understand and you make sure that, you know, you're fully informed and fully aware of what's next, because those are things that do create market movement. And we talk about it all the time. You know, market expectations, market psychology. So when the market is expecting something, they don't get it. They have a little bit of a temper tantrum. And of course, they sell off. Okay. Or when it's better than they thought it was going to be, then sometimes they rally. And that's really, you know, the game that we play, or the market expectation game, is very simple. So, you know, what you want to be prepared for is obviously those types of deals when they do happen, because you then put yourself in a better position to create successful opportunities. And again, that's something that, you know, nobody talks about often, and nobody thinks about much. But of course, that's exactly what the whole market and the whole foundation is about those very things that we're talking about now. Okay, so don't get caught up with the asshole TV pundits who talk out of their ass and have no clue. Okay, don't get caught up with somebody who's trying to capture your cash. Get caught up with yourself. Understand, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. Understand what you're looking for, and understand how you're going to work it. Okay, so that you're prepared. Okay, for what can happen next. Really, and that's really our focus, is to be prepared for the next move by using the map that the market lays out for us every single day. Because the market does give us a map each and every day. And each and every day, it's for us to determine the mood and the map of the market. Because if we're prepared for that, then all of a sudden, we are in better shape. We're much more aligned with the market, and we are ready to do what we need to do next. So, you know, your job, if you decide to accept it on Mission Impossible, is to hang with the footprint of the market, knowing that many things can happen, good and bad, but the market will tip you off anyways. So, if you're prepared to be tipped off and you're ready to be tipped off, then you will be in that right position to create some success. You know, and it's always funny, you know, when people ask me things, you know, and they want my opinion on, you know, what do I think of the market? Well, I mean, listen, I've been bearish the market for, I don't know, last 1,000 points, maybe longer. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to buy anything. It just means that overall, generally, the market itself is not impressive to me. You know, again, some people try to squeeze out the last couple of bucks, and, you know, I don't think it's worth it. You know, if you're an active trader, you know what to do. But if you're not active, I mean, you know, and if you're not hedging, well, then you should be prepared to take your profits and not try to squeeze every last dime out of any move. Because I will say this to you, okay? Once the market decides to make a move, and it doesn't matter which side you're on, but once the market decides that it's ready to move, okay, if you're in the way, you're screwed, okay? If you're against the market, if you're on the wrong side, okay, then you're screwed. It's very simple, okay, because you'll get run over because of the trading that's going to go on, and many people don't understand that, and they get confused by it. But you will get run over because the markets will go too fast and you won't be able to get out fast enough and you won't know what to do. And that's always something that you need to be focused and paying attention to, because at the end of the day, okay, it's really about the pattern, the footprint, what the markets are doing and what your expectations are. And if you learn to discipline yourself a little bit better, you will be in a much better position, because that's how you create successful opportunity. Again, it's always about the numbers. Of course, that's what the Bubba Show is. We're always about the numbers, and we're going to talk Super Bowl numbers later. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends, now hosted by Xander. And my new feature, Bubba's Bottom Line, can be found at BubbaTrading.com. And it's up there approximately once or twice a week. It's kind of when I get mad about something or I want to talk about something in the market. So I go to my bat cave and put on the TV screen and shoot a TV episode for everybody. In the meantime, I'm going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you, and of course, always great to be on with everybody. And you know, will there ever be a day where we won't have somebody bashing the new president of the United States? Will there ever be a day where there's no protesting? Did you guys see the protest at Cal Berkeley on Wednesday night? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is beyond ignorance. It's beyond stupidity. I mean, you know, you're starting a riot. I mean, this is like nonsense all over the world. I don't get it. I mean, I don't get what the hell's going on with everybody. I mean, I get if you don't like the guy. I have no problem. And I have no problem. Listen, I badmouthed Obama, you know, plenty of times. But I certainly didn't try to get in the way and create failure from him. And it certainly didn't handle the news channels. I mean, it's amazing where we've come to that. You know, I read, one of the websites I read, every other story is about Trump getting divorced, Trump doing this wrong, Trump hanging up on a leader. I mean, Trump. I mean, you know, I think is there not other news anymore? Is it just the Donald? I mean, you know, we know he likes to be in the spotlight, but aren't there more important stories to report? Okay, aren't there things going on? I mean, you know, you hardly ever hear except on the business channels now about the mass murders in Chicago. All right, and you know, again, it's interesting. Okay, that we've got a situation that nobody cares about, and everybody wants to be, you know, either you love them or you hate them. You know, if you turn on Fox, they love them. If you turn on CNN, they hate them. Okay, and everybody wants to be right. Okay, now who is right? Okay, you got an opinion? I'm just curious. Okay, I mean, I thought that in the United States of America, when you had the peaceful transfer of power, okay, you kind of went on your own way. I mean, and you tried to make it better no matter who was there. I mean, I can't believe the Democrats don't even show up for the meeting for a vote. Okay. And you know, we're going to have, obviously, Gorsuch with the new Supreme Court justice. That's going to be, obviously, I mean, it's becoming a freak show. Maybe they should travel. They can replace Barman and Bailey as the new circus, okay? Because certainly it is a circus. Now, you know, you must admit, whether you like Donald Trump or not like Donald Trump, he has done everything that he said in this campaign. He has continued to do so far, okay? So isn't it unusual that a man would actually keep his word and the man would actually do things that he said he was going to do? Is that not, oh my God, I don't believe it? I mean, are we really to this stage in life that we want, you know, things to fail? I mean, he has done exactly what he said he was going to do for 18 months. He made these campaign promises, and here's the campaign, and here's what he's doing. He's doing exactly what he said. So, I mean, is that wrong? I mean, do we not do that anymore? Do we not keep our word? I mean, really, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. I have to get a chuckle out of it, because I thought that if you kept your word, you were a good person. I thought that was what life was all about, was trying to keep your word. But and then you've got this Nancy Pelosi. Now, I never liked Nancy Pelosi. I still don't like her. But couldn't they find somebody younger than 100? To be the head? I mean, are the Democrats in that bad a shape? They used to either have to have somebody who's so far left and so far radical, or they got to have somebody who's 100 to be running the operation. I mean, are we really into this position right now, where nothing makes any sense? And of course, you know, we talked the other day about Schumer crying about this whole thing when he voted on things just like this. Where is the equilibrium here? Where is the fair balance of what's going on? That's what I don't get. Okay, I mean, again, I get the whole picture. I'm not, you know, I'm not blind. I know what goes on, and I laugh, because here we are having the same ridiculous argument and the same people trying to protest their way out. And the same people trying to make it harder for everybody to do what they're supposed to do. Now, is that the United States that you remember? I know it's not the one that I remember. Okay? I mean, I just see things that are shocking. And of course, Donald Trump goes off to visit the Navy SEAL to see his remains brought back in the country. Okay? You know, I mean, you know, Obama didn't even go to the funeral of the big major deaths over his term. So, I mean, are we really? I mean, I think the man is trying to be a gentleman. That's what I think. Okay, I mean, I just don't understand where we spend so much time and so much money and so much waste fighting over the dumbest things ever. Okay. And it's because we can't get our own way. And I find that, you know, embarrassing. Okay. I mean, I think the Democrats in this particular case should be embarrassed. I mean, it's really come to a point where it's kind of nonsense what they're doing right now. I mean, trying to, you know, avoid and halt everything. And because they didn't win, they want to change the entire system. Do you agree or you disagree? I mean, again, I'm always willing to listen to anybody's opinion, and anybody out there that wants to come in and I come on the show and talk about it. I mean, I'll let you just have your freedom of speech. I'm a big speech guy, okay? And I won't even give you an argument, okay? I'll let you speak, but I'm just curious if you think that I'm out of line or if I'm right. You know, I just I'm an American first before anything. I'm an American. And God forbid, I'd like to have, you know, good things happening, you know, for me and for my family and for my friends. And what I'm seeing now is not good for anybody. Okay? What we have now is just a battle between everybody. And again, there's nothing wrong with a good, healthy fight. Okay? There's nothing wrong with people voicing their opinions, okay? But when you try to sabotage something, I think that's where you have to draw the line, okay? You know, the freedom of speech in this country is obviously one of the greatest things you could ask for, but you cannot allow it to go too far. And I think that is kind of what we've seen over time, is it's gone too far. And you cannot exist when your own establishment is bickering. And that's where I think that the politicians have made a huge error in judgment in both sides of the aisle. Again, I'm not just picking on one side. I think they made a huge error in judgment with the way they act in general, and the way they screwed Americans in general. I think we can call this the screwing of America, because again, you know, when you look at the big picture, okay, when you look at what's going on, and not just politically, but the whole system, who is at the biggest disadvantage of the whole system? The middle class. Who should be the most important people to cater to? Oh, the middle class. But see, the problem is that the middle class gets pissed on by everything. And again, we talked about the inflation deal. Okay. We get it from every which way, but here we still are. Okay. And that becomes the issue that needs to be more addressed through the political arena, is to worry more about the majority of people, and B, the people that do the most to support and build the economy, because we are the ones that do just that. So anyways, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the only place you need to go for all of your news content. And in the meantime, you can download The Bubba Show there. And now the new Sporting Edge, taken over by Xander. And of course, Bubba's Bottom Line is brand new, and of course we are doing a couple episodes probably every week or so, and I think you'll enjoy them. Go to BubbaTrain.com. You can download it and watch me on TV smiling and laughing and chuckling, and it'll take us up to a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horts. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialati, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And of course, you know, what would a day go be without me bashing on some pension fund? And of course, yesterday I'm watching and I see the head of CalSPR, okay, the biggest pension fund in the world, I think, okay, talking about how they're going to go about making money. Now, mind you, that they don't make any money. Basically, they haven't made enough. They are paying out $4 for every $1 they put in, so that's a problem. So they have not done a very good job with investing at this point. Okay, and of course, I love when they talk about the way and how things are going to go. When certainly they just learned the basics of a market, they would probably be in much better shape today. And that's one of the problems that I have with a lot of these people that spew their opinion on TV, okay, with no experience on what to do and don't have a great track record. I mean, you know, Warren Buffett, yes, he has a great track record because he's got a lot of money and he's able to sit through and sit tight. Okay. Again, I will ask you this question. How many of us on this particular show could watch a stock go from 120 down to 20 and not bat an eye? Okay. Not very many. Okay. Now, again, I give him credit for understanding that concept. I give him credit for having enough money to do that. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, results are results. And certainly very smart guy, understands, you know, in the 90s, he said, hey, you know, a brick and mortar, I mean, you know, you still got to make money. Okay. And I think that's what you saw yesterday's earnings of Amazon is they're not making enough money. Okay. Their PE is still well too high. So as glorious and as glamorous as it is, okay, they've got problems because they still got to make more money. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I mean, we're not going to have a tag day for Jeff Bezos. I mean, another mutt, okay, who, you know, decides that, you know, he's bigger than the country as well. So now somebody who should be supporting any administration, okay, again, some of you should be supporting everybody. You should be supporting the United States of America, right? And of course, he's taking on Trump and they're, you know, doing this ridiculous, dumb lawsuit, okay? I mean, do we not have anything better to do? And certainly, I'd like to see some of his shareholders take him to court for pissing away their money on a frivolous, ridiculous lawsuit. But again, these are things that, you know, we have to understand about markets. And as we get back on track here, you know, so Buffett is a great investor. He's found some great bargains and he's been able to hold and he built a beautiful, big, obviously $1 billion, you know, billionaire. I mean, so you can't take that away from him, but I can take away that, you know, that he does have and built up enough money that, that he can do things that we can't do. So it doesn't make him a great investor. It makes him a smart guy who's got a lot of money. Now, again, as you've heard the old story, money goes to money. Well, that's one of the reasons why is because when you've made it that far, you have the ability to stay in and do things differently than others. Now, listen, that's obviously the best position to be in. So certainly we're not against them for that. I mean, that's a terrific spot to be in, right? But at the end of the day, you know, we have to, you know, understand how the whole system works and where it comes from. And I think that is, you know, again, what I look at and, you know, when I see all these things being critical and going on, I have to wonder about it. But of course, you know, there's many, many things that go on throughout a market and that make a market. And, you know, when you're making a market, you know, it takes buyers and sellers alike, because markets are made, you know, if somebody wants to buy, somebody wants to sell. And there's the old quote, somebody buys and somebody sells and they both think they're being astute or whatever. I mean, you know, but, you know, at the end of it, a market is built on the model of buyers and sellers meeting. Okay. And at the end, what we want to look at is, you know, where is it that the footprint comes from and how do we best work that particular footprint? And what we do is you watch the flow, because when the markets are going up, it doesn't mean that the demand is bigger. It means that the buyers are willing to be more aggressive. When the markets are going down, it means the sellers are willing to be more aggressive. And that is, you know, something that we always, you know, want to focus on, is to understand how that model works itself. Okay, it's about the model of what we're doing. It's about the entire situation and how markets actually do work. So when you look at the market and how it works, it's, you know, the footprint is built by buyers and sellers. Okay, so as the markets go up and buyers are becoming more aggressive, you see that the chart tend to roll up and then it comes down. And what you're looking for is changes in volume, change in other things. Those are things that help you find the appropriate footprint that give you the best opportunity and the best chance to next be to follow the overall market. Because again, if you think that you're going to, you know, get it because of a jobs number or whatever, that news is so old by the time it hits the street that it's really incredible. Okay, the news itself is beaten down and old and gone. And, you know, unless it's something that can't be expected, you know, something, a geopolitical event, something like that, then we're not talking about the same thing. But when we're talking about the general news model, okay, we are exactly what we're saying, is that the markets are not going to have a dramatic move off of that news. Okay, that's the end of the day. We are going to see a market that moves because buyers are buying it and they're being more aggressive, or sellers are selling it because they're being more aggressive. But at the end of the day, the news itself, again, the only thing that we can look for is something that is totally unaccounted for, which would be, you know, something, you know, a geopolitical event, something of that nature that would now bring us, you know, into a bigger move. For example, at this point in time now, I'm looking for a geopolitical move. Now, obviously, I can't plan what it is, but I mean, I don't think I'm looking for it. Let me rephrase it. I'm thinking that will be what drives the market next, will be a move on the geopolitical side. So once that happens, because once the market gets rolling, and I think it will be the downside, it will continue to roll to that side. But at the end of the day, it's a market that is not driven by the news. It's driven by the money. It's driven by the people that are buying and selling. That is what is truly driving the market. Okay. So if you always keep that in mind of what is driving the market, then you can always be in the best shape to continue to let the markets work for you. Okay. And that's something that, I have to make sure that everybody kind of understands that, because again, we get too involved. You know, you read a story about news and you get too involved in, hey, oh man, this is going to be great news. And it's already been priced into the market. Okay. That's the issue. Not anything else. It's that we tend to try to trade off news that's old, and old news is not good news. Old news will typically lose you money. So we want to stay away from that, and we want to learn how to focus and function on the general market and what's driving it, not the actual news flow. Because the news flow, again, you know, the news flow is being priced in, you know, right now as we speak. The markets are open somewhere, and someone is driving the market based on the news that is potentially out there, okay? And that's what you always have to keep in mind, is trade the tape, trade the pattern, trade what's going on, and not try to be something that's, you know, over-smart or outsmart the market, because it cannot be done, okay? Cannot. Okay, so remember, make sure that you're following the market footprint. Make sure that you are doing the things that are needed to be done by protecting your money, by taking care of everything else. And if you do all those things, you will put yourself in the best position to be successful. And that's all we can hope for, is to have the best shot. Because if we do it enough times, we can repeat the process. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, but remember, libertytalk.fm, that gets you the download of The Bubba Show every day, and of course, the Sporting Edge with my man Xander now at the helm. And we just started Bubba's Bottom Line, and basically in our premiere episodes, a TV show done by me. Certainly, you can check that out at bubbatrading.com. Make sure you go check it out. Make sure you become one of my downloading fans. I look forward to it. And, of course, always look forward to being here with you. We'll be going to step out here for a break and come back. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back to you after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, I wanted to share some, with all the stuff going on, I wanted to share some Bill Whittle with you. So let's go right to Mr. Bill Whittle right now. Here we go.
When you thought you were getting used to that popcorn sound of progressive heads exploding over Donald Trump actually doing what he said he was going to do and start construction on the border wall, all of a sudden there's an explosion and a fire at the popcorn factory because of his Muslim ban. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with Steve Green and Scott Ott, and I would like to talk a little bit about the connection between these two things and how it basically affects our progressive friends and even those of you who care for the truth and matters and are interested in learning what actually goes on in these kind of cases. Steve, Scott, my theory is this, and I'll ask you both about it. My theory is that both the border wall and the ban on those seven countries with Muslim populations?
Seven,
thank you. My theory is this. Both of those actions were made necessary by Barack Obama. So, Steve, let's start with you. My contention here is, if we'd had a border, we wouldn't need a wall. If we'd enforced the border, as we had in the 250 years of this country, we wouldn't need a wall. But having not enforced the border for 8 years... now we need a wall. It's Barack Obama who's made this necessary, not Donald Trump. What do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of the domestic policy variation on peace through strength, or as I like to call it, peace through superior firepower. Strong nations generally don't stumble into war. What happens is you are perceived as weak, or you are weak, because, you know, you're trying to be nice. You don't want to spend all that money on icky tanks and planes. You want people to like you. And the next thing you know, German tanks are swinging around the left flank of the Maginot Line. And it's very much the same in domestic policy. If you want to do the nice thing, if you want to just kind of let people come over and do their thing and send their money home or whatever, commit crimes, get arrested and deported and come back 7 or 8 times, yeah, people are going to start clamoring to build a damn wall so that we can stop this. A little bit of toughness instead of a lot of niceness precludes a lot of nastiness. And we're seeing this with this so-called ban. I'll reiterate what I said in my segment elsewhere this week from David French in National Review. There is no ban. There is a 120-day moratorium while we've work out new vetting procedures, and that's only on 7 countries identified by the Obama administration. And in the meantime, our levels will go back to where they've been for most of the last, I think, 15 out of the last 16 years, to about 50,000 refugees a year. And sometimes we don't even get that many. That's just the ceiling allowed by law. So yeah, if you show a little bit of toughness every day, It prevents wars. It prevents walls. Just show some sense. Stop trying to be so nice.
Yeah, protect the border. You don't need a wall. It's the same thing with all the guns that people are buying privately. If they would just enforce the laws and put criminals in jail, we wouldn't have to go around so armed all the time. That's also a liberal benefit to our society. Scott, let's look at the second one. Your segment of Right Angle this week deals with the implementation of the temporary restriction on those 7 countries and talks about some of the damage that was done by perhaps overenthusiasm and so on. My contention, again, is that this entire ban is a result of Barack Obama, and my position here is this. The first president to be elected after 9/11 had an opportunity for the last 8 years to discuss with the American people who we should let into the country and who we should not, who is safe and who is innocent and who is not, and why. We could have had this discussion over 8 years and had an adult, fair policy put into place, but if the president of the United States cannot even say Islamic terrorism during his entire 8-year term, what else do you expect from the American people other than emergency responses to a crisis that's been developing for 8 years?
And I would like to put it in a more subtle way, perhaps, because I think Barack Obama made what Donald Trump is doing politically possible. And I say it that way because I don't necessarily think that the solutions that we're pursuing right now are going to have any greater effect than the way that President Obama was doing it. I just think that it became politically possible because Barack Obama gave the sense that he didn't care that people were being hurt. He gave the sense that he was not strongly on the side of American exceptionalism and that he was very open to the idea of sort of Islamic exceptionalism. He gave the sense, and many city mayors backed him up on this, where they gave the sense that it was okay to shield people who were guilty of crimes or to release them from jails when they should be deported. And then people got raped and terrible accidents, drunk driving accidents happened. So all of these things were sort of cumulative that gave the overall sense that we've got a massive problem with unchecked immigration. And I don't blame anybody who sees it that way. I don't blame anybody who voted for Donald Trump because he said, I'm going to stop our massive problem with immigration. Or I'm going to, you know, finally to have a president of the United States who understands who we're at war with. And I take it a step further because I don't even say like radical Islamic extremist, because I frankly believe that the Quran, if you take it literally, you know, these are the orthodox guys. These are the literal Islamists. These are the guys who actually believe what they're reading in the Quran. So, you know, I even though I'm on, you know, that side of things, and I think that that's a really whacked religion and it's an authoritarian ideology. Nevertheless, I'm still concerned that we're playing political footsie games here right now, because building the wall is not going to stop the problem. Immigrants will find ways to illegally come into this country, regardless of that. It is a powerful symbol, and it's a rhetorical device that President Trump is using with great effect to sort of roll back the impression that America is weak, that America is kowtowing before, you know, foreign Muslim powers, and that America doesn't care what happens to her people who seem to be losing their jobs and getting raped in the streets.
Israel put up a wall between themselves and the Palestinians in the West Bank, and it cut suicide attacks to zero. So sometimes these things actually work. And for those of you out there who might be lamenting the loss of America and calling this the German Berlin Wall and equating us with Nazis, I'd like to remind you that the Berlin Wall was erected to keep people in, while the wall we're talking about is erected to keep people out. That's the difference between a prison and a fortress. You don't like the fortress, you shouldn't have opened the floodgates. That's my basic conclusion on both of these, ladies and gentlemen, is that the President of the United States, having not only given up his ability or his responsibility, has in fact openly called for increased illegal immigration, both in terms of the border in Mexico, and he's also called for vastly increased immigration from people who we can see in Europe are maybe not the best people in the world to come here. Scott's got a point that no one's talking about. You can come to America as a Hindu or as a Confucian, you can come as a you can come as a Buddhist, you can come as an animist, you can come as an atheist and live comfortably in America without any great conflict. But if you come as a Muslim, your religion is not only incompatible with our values, it's antithetical to them. This is, in fact, something that deserves special treatment. But all of you out there on the protest lines, let's just remember this. There are thousands of Mexican refugees who are going to be turned away because your president made it crystal clear that anybody who wanted to come here could come. He ordered the Border Patrol agents to not do their job. Your president did this, not Donald Trump. And it was your president that launched wars in seven countries, dropped 100,000 bombs without ever declaring war, without ever getting congressional approval, without getting UN approval, without a strategy, without a plan, simply marching around and stomping on people. That has created this refugee crisis.
And of course, you know, this is obviously comes down to where you are and as far as is the protest and what side of the aisle you sit on. But again, this is part of the problem. And that's why I do think that we do need some of these regulations. And I do think that, you know, obviously the proper vetting is the way to do things. But that'll do it for today. That'll do it for the week. And everybody have a great weekend and enjoy the Super Bowl. I will take New England minus the 3 points. In the meantime, you can download The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm and Bubba's Bottom Line at bubbatrading.com. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. Have a wonderful, great weekend, and always a pleasure. I always enjoy spending the afternoon with my friends here at The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, we'll see you back here on Monday, if you can get up after the Super Bowl party. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, we'll see you on Monday.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.